Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Mem. Before we begin our shiur, let us point out that even though we are learning in the context of the Daf Yomi schedule, it's likely at this point that today's Shiur Daf Mem will include Daf Mem Aleph as well, simply because we are going to be found in the middle of a long discussion. Breaking it in the middle would be to our detriment. The Shiur might very well then continue to the top of Daf Mem Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara, Omar Rav Chisda, he makes 3 points. Number 1, Lilkois Bachas, a nozir who cuts one hair, let's say uproots or shaves off one singular hair, is grounds for receiving lashings, for having violated the prohibition of Tar Lo Yavor Al Roshay. Number 2, Le'akev Vishtayim. At the end of his Nazirus, if he shaves his head but leaves 2 hairs, then we will say that he has not fulfilled his final haircut obligation of Nazirus. So 2 hairs that are left are a binding factor. Number 3, Listor ein osos ela b'roiv roisha ubatar. When we make mention of a nazir losing the nazirus that he counted, he is soser. Soser means he destroys, literally, the days that he had observed till that point. This phenomenon arises of stira, of losing the days, erasure of the days that you counted, only if you shave the majority of your head as a nozir, and you do so with a razor. The Gemara asks, "Betar in b'midi achrina lo?" Is the prohibition only if done with a razor and not with any other means? V'halkatani, but have we not learned minayin l'rabois es kol hamavirin? From where do we know to include all methods of hair removal, that they also would constitute the nozir violation? So we see from this source that we're marve, we include all kinds of ma'avirin hair removal methods, not just the tar. So why does Rav Chisda say that stira, the erasure of counted days, is only if the hair is removed with a tar, a razor? Elo ema, so rather we answer, ke'ain tar. In fact, all ma'avirin will result in stira, in the loss of days, but it has to be like a razor. The nature of a razor is that the hair is removed from its root. Tanyo nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source that points out the points that Rav Chisda had made. Nozir shetolash merat sifseif kolshehu chayev. If a nozir pulls out or removes a hair in any other method, kolshehu, even one hair, he is in violation, and that would mean malchus. He's subject to the lashing punishment. V'eino soiser ela b'roiv roishoi ubetar. And the loss of days already counted toward Nazirus is only if he shaves off the majority of his hair and in a method like the tar. Even though the source says ubitar with a razor, Tosfos comments, a method of hair removal like the tahr, which is shaving, removing, plucking out the hair from its ikar, from its root. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Kishem Shishtei Cyrus Ma'akvois Boi, just like two hairs are a restraining factor or a prevention of fulfilling the Nazirus haircut requirement, Kach Shtei Cyrus Soisus Bo, so too, two hairs have that much significance that they will be responsible for his having to start his counting all over again. So you can see that as far as how much is required for stira, you have a machlokes, a tenei controversy. Tanan hasam. We have a source that on the side of our Gemara, we introduce Gimel Megalchin Betar. There are three individuals in halacha who have to remove their hair, shave with a razor. Shloshim Megalchim v'Tiglachasan Mitzvah. There are three that are expected to shave, and their shaving is a commandment. Nazir u'Metzora u'Leviim. V'Kulan Shegilchu Shelo Betar. Any of these, the Nazir at the end of his Nazirus, or the Metzora at the conclusion of his Mitzora Tuma period, and the Leviim when they were being consecrated to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, if they shave without a razor, Osha Shairu Shtei Cyrus L'Asuv L'Klum, or if they left two hairs unshaven, uncut, they haven't accomplished anything. Omar Mar Shloisha Megalchen V'Tiglochason Mitzvah. The Gemara asks on the source that we just read, Pshita, it's obvious. The point made in the Tanaic source are actually found in scriptures, in Psukim. So what's the need for the Tanaic source? Mahu detema, Mishumavuri seahu. Had I had just the Chumash, just the Psukim, I would have thought that the Torah's expectation of these people is hair removal. V'afilu sochnosha. Even smearing on a depilatory would have been sufficient. Komash malon delo, the source, by using the term tiglochason, that is to the exclusion of a nosha, of a depilatory, and hence there is a need for the Tanaic source. Kotoni, it was taught the kulon, Shegilchu Shelo Betar. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara. You can see where this quote comes from. And now we begin a long question. Bishlamo Gabi Nozir Ksiv Tar Lo Avar Al Rosho. I understand that the Tar is necessary, is required for the Nozir final haircut, as is learned from the Pasuk Tar Lo Yavar Al Rosho. Rashi points out that there were different methods of how you see that from the Pasuk, but either way, either Rebbe's method or the Tanakama's method, as we've seen in the past. But from this Pasuk, we conclude that a tar is required, is binding for the final Nazir haircut. V'gabi Leviim Ksiv ve'viru tar al kol besarom. There again, the Pasuk says explicitly that the shaving of the Leviim is to take place with a tar. Ela mitzora betar minolan. Our question focuses on the mitzora. From where do we know that the mitzora needs to shave the, we call the body shave, all his hair is removed, with a tar? Before we go too much further, let's glance at the side. We have a nosei mivne heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note. Triangles start appearing in the Gemara. They will appear in fluctuating and in fluctuating opposite directions. On the side, we've written that after you see the triangle, the ma'akav. Ma'akav meaning an attempt to keep track of a give and take style Gemara. Nisyonis lumtsoi mokor de tiglachas mitzoiro betar. These are attempts to find a source that the mitzora at the conclusion of his Tzoras period shaves with a tar. We're going to try to derive the laws of Nazir, one, mi Nazir, let me repeat that. We're going to try to derive the laws of Mitzora from number one, Minazir, number two, Mehalaviyim. We're going to discover, as we continue in the Gemara, that we're not really going to be able to derive Mitzora from any one of them, Nazir or Leviim. Later, the Gemara will investigate, what about deriving the Mitzora haircut from stating the requirement by both Nazir and Leviim through a common denominator between them? The Gemara will challenge that as well. So, we now embark on our inquiry. Katani, we mentioned already, like actually we're at Elo Mitzora B'tar Min Olan. We're focusing on the dashed underline. This dashed underline is because this is really the focus of our attention in the upcoming Gemara. So the Mitzora, upon the conclusion of his Tzoras, he removes his body hair. The main point that we didn't mention till now is that the Torah doesn't say explicitly, in contrast to the Nazir and Levi where Tar was mentioned explicitly, we don't find that by the Mitzora. So the Gemara says, V'chitema teisi mi-Leviim, if you suggest, let us learn from the laws of the Leviim. Ma Leviim shekein tunin tiglachas vein tiglachas en el betar. Just like the Leviim require a hair removal, and their hair removal is only with a tar, the Mitzora too, the Pasuk mentions that he requires a giluach, a hair removal, and the hair removal, the hair shaving, will be with a tar, with a razor, just like by Leviim. Moses rejects that, ikar lemifrach, ma leleviim, shekein tunin tenufa begufan, toimar b'mitzora delo. The Leviim, when they were consecrated, there was also a process called tenufa, where they were waved, they were physically picked up, and that ceremony doesn't exist by Mitzora. So since by Leviim tenufa took place, it might be that there we're restrictive and say you can use only a tar. But by the Mitzora, where you don't have a tenufa requirement, maybe you don't have a tar requirement either. Elo teisi mi nazir. Let's derive Mitzora from Nazir. No, that can't be done. Ma le nazir shekein korbono ton lechem. Toimar b'mitzora delo. The Nazir has a restriction or a stringency, and that is that in addition to the fact that he brings sacrifices, his sacrifices, shlomim, is accompanied by 20 loaves, 20 baked loaves. You don't have loaves in the case of the Mitzora, so maybe you don't have tar by the Mitzora either. Elo mechado lo asio. Teisi mitravaihu. Teisi mitravehon. We've demonstrated that you can't derive Mitzora for any one of those examples, the Nazir or Leviim. Maybe by combining, by noticing a common denominator between Levi and Nazir, that both have a Tiglachas requirement and they both require a tar, let's then extrapolate from that to the Nazir, to the Mitzora, and say he too requires the razor. Now, structurally, you notice, first of all, you have a bracketed section. Within the brackets, the Gemara, in anticipation of this common denominator idea, the Gemara is going to go over what we've learned already, the Nazir and the Levi, and point out how you can't learn from either one individually. After the bracketed section, notice, after the Gemara having said, Tesi Mitravehon, skipping the brackets, Hatzara Sheva Shebahen, the common denominator between the Levi and the Nazir, Shein Tunin Tiglachas V'Tiglos Betar. They both require Tiglachas, the hair shaving, and they are done with a tar. So I'll extend that to the Mitzora as well, who we know has a Tiglachas requirement. The Torah tells us about the Mitzora requiring Tiglachas, and we will assume then that his Tiglachas is also with a tar. Let's go over now the bracketed section. The Gemara says, the Metzora hair shaving with a razor, let us conclude it, me Traveon, from both, from a combining Nozir and Levi. Well, Mehe Tesi, from which should I conclude Tar? Tesi mi Levium? Should I try to conclude Tar from Metzora from Levium? Alevium shekein tumin tenufa begufan. You can't derive Metzora from Levium. Levium have the tenufa requirement. Therefore, they have Tar. I don't know such by a Metzora where there's no tenufa requirement. Nozir yochiach. So let Nozir, which there's no tenufa requirement by the Nozir, and yet his shaving, his tiglachas is with a Tar. So too, let me say, by Metzora, the same thing. No, ma le nozir shekein korbono tol lechem. The nozir korban, the nozir sacrifice, has a baked loaf additional requirement. So the nozir also has a tar requirement, but not so by the mitzvah. Doesn't have a lechem requirement, a bread requirement. Levium yochichu. Well, let the case of Levium prove they don't have a bread requirement, and yet they're Tiglachas, their shaving is with a tar, with a razor. We said that you can't learn from a Levi either because there's Tenufa Begufan. The Chozer Hadin, the logic revolves. Lo Roizeh Keroizeh, Velo Roizeh Keroizeh. Neither one example is like the other. Hatzad Hashava Shebohen, the common denominator between Levium and Nozir, Shehen Teun and Tiglachas, Vetiglachoson Betar. They require tiglachas, and their tiglachas is with a razor. Afani obvious a mitzor shuton tiglachas. I will therefore extend this to a mitzorah, where the Torah requires tiglachas, and with what? The tiglachaso, betar, and his tiglachas, his hair shaving, will also be with a tar, just like by the Levi and Nozir. Omar le rova mi barnish le ravashi. Velifroch, I can challenge, I can undo that limud, that teaching, as follows. Ma lahatzad ha-shavah shebohen, shekein, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, ein korbonoi bedalus, toimar b'metzor shekorbono bedalus, rovo b'barnish, says, you can't learn tar from the fact that Levi and Nozir have a tar requirement. The reason we could say that they have a tar requirement is that their sacrifices come at a fixed rate, meaning there's no consideration for a Nozir or a Levi of limited income, where we would permit a cheaper or less expensive type sacrifice brought instead of an animal, maybe birds, and if that's too expensive, then a meal offering. We don't have that flexibility by Levi or Nozir. And since we don't have that flexibility, so we have the stringency of a tar requirement. But by Metzora, should I say the same thing by Metzora, where the Torah does have a korban income level consideration? And therefore, just like we have this leniency by the Metzora that we take into consideration as income level, according to which we prescribe what kind of sacrifice he brings, so another leniency would be that his hair removal isn't limited, isn't restricted to a razor. So at this point, we do not have a source for the Metzora requiring a razor for his Tiglachas. Before we, deal with that, the Gemara raises a question, a curious thing has happened in the last couple of Dapim of Gemara. And we have a question. Rava Bar Misharshia raises a question, lasts a couple of lines. And before we read the Gemara text, we have a note on the side, the Nosei, which reads, Tamihaso Shel Rava Bar Misharshia. Rava Bar Misharshia has a question, to me as a wonderment. Mitzad Echad Mashma Liel, from one standpoint, it seems that appears from before, the Pshita de Tiglachas Mitzora Betar. We had a Tanaic source in one of our previous Dapim where the Gemara pointed out that the Nazir couldn't be derived from the Mitzora. In other words, it seemed that it was obvious that a Mitzora has a Tar requirement. That's what we were given to understand, that the final Nazir haircut should be learned from Mitzora. That we couldn't do because Mitzora represents an area of stringency, so there the Tar is what's required. But the Nazir is not as stringent an area, so maybe Tar wouldn't be required. That was a piece of logic that we saw recently. Well, in speaking that way, it seems obvious then that the Mitzora has a Tar requirement. The whole question was, can I derive the Nazir, I'll say, had the Torah not said anything about Tar by a Nazir, could I have figured it out from Mitzora? And the answer there, the Gemara said, no, I can't derive Nazir from the Mitzora. But there was a given that the Mitzora had a Tar requirement. And we continue in our note, Umitzad Sheni Lopshita. And from a second standpoint, it's not obvious that the Mitzora has a Tar requirement. Fishur Inu, Denisu, Lilmod, Oisoi, Minazir, Vilavim. In our most recent discussion, just now, we were actually trying to derive Mitzor from Nazir and Levium, and we were unable to do thusly. So it then would appear that it's not clear that the Mitzor has a Tar requirement. So the Gemara asks, on the second line from the top, Omar Le Rava Bar Mesharshi Ol Rava. Hi Tano. This is a reference to the Tanaic source that we saw on our previous daf, Meikara Omar, Lelamdoi mi Mitzora I Efshar, Shein Donin Kal Mechomer Lahachmir Olof. In fact, this was at the very top of Omer Aleph, the very end of our previous recorded shir. You saw that in the Tanaic source quoted there at the top of Mem Omer Aleph. And in saying that, What are we in effect saying? What is the Tana there saying? That the Tiglachas Achroina, the last shaving of the Nozir, the shaving at the end of his Nozir period, that has to be done, Bitar, could not be learned from Mitzora. Why? Because we don't conclude an area of leniency from an area of stringency regarding astringency. Nozir relative to Mitzora was viewed as an area of leniency, and we know by Mitzora that there is a restriction that the hair must be removed only with a tar, and I can't derive that information from Mitzora to an area of leniency, namely the Nozir. Hence, seeing that, according to the Tana, the Mitzora Tiglachas is obviously with a tar. The Hodar Omar, and then we went and said, Nalif Medino Medino Nami Lo Yolif, that a Mitzora should have a Tar requirement. We tried to learn through logic, through comparison to Nozir and Levium, and we were unable to do so, leaving us with the feeling that it's not so obvious that a Mitzora has a Tar requirement. So, in simple terms, make up your mind. Is it clear that a Mitzora has a Tar requirement, or is it not so clear? Omar Le, Rava responds, Hahu Aliba de Rabbonon, Ho Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer. That which was stated at the very top of Mem Omer Aleph, meaning of Omer Aleph, that it's obvious that a Mitzora has a Tar requirement, that is one Tanaic school of thought, namely the Rabbonon. The approach that we saw later on Omer Aleph, in other words, the attempt to discover does a Mitzora in fact have a Tar requirement, namely it wasn't so clear, that is in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer. Now these names, Rabbanan and Rabbi Elezer, are introduced in the following Tanaic source. The following Tanaic source deals with a prohibition of removing, of shaving one's beard. It's called Pa'as Zekono. Shaving one's beard, and it's found in Maseches Makis. There's a Machlokis Tanoim that we will see. In the course of the Sugya, we are going to be exposed to these two opinions, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elezer. And I might as well say that through the back door, we're going to see where they learn that a metzora tiglachas is with a razor. But at this point in the Gemara, the opening of the Gemara, it's not so obvious. It's not so obvious that that's what the Gemara's goal is, but it will become clear as we go through the Gemara and from time to time make reference to the commentaries to see that that's what we're trying to say. On the side of the Gemara, you notice we have a Nosei Mivne heading. A triangle appears, and there's also Roman numerals 1 and 2. These represent Mekoros L'Rabbanan Rebbe Elazar, the Tiglachas Mitzora Hidavke Betar. Sources that eventually will show, according to the Rabbanan on the one hand, and according to Rebbe Elazar on the other, that the Mitzora Tiglachas is only with a tar. Now, structurally, take a look at the Gemara. We have the, in two lines from now, you'll see a triangle where you can see the term Mai Tamayo de Rabbanan, and on the side a Roman numeral number 1 on Mem Aleph from an Aleph, and this is basically the reason why we have to combine these two dapim into one shir. You see on the fifth line from the top at the end of the line of Mem Aleph from an Aleph, Rebbe Elazar Mai Taima, where the Gemara will ask, according to Rebbe Elazar, how does he know that the Tiglachas Mitzora is with a tar? We turn to the Gemara, and we mention that we are going to be introduced to the Rabbanan and Rebbe Elazar, but through the back door. We have a source that deals with the prohibition of shaving one's face, the Pa'as Zekono, found in Maseches Makis, and it says as follows: V'eino chayav ad she'yulketenu betar. The prohibition of removing the hair from one's face. The Gemara speaks about several corners of one's face, different locations. There's also a discussion in the commentaries about what exactly is referred to, but they're called the corners of one's face, the Pa'as Zekonai. The Tanakhama says that that prohibition of hair removal is only if shaved with a razor. Rabbi Eliezer Omer afi litoi b'milkad uvrehitni chayev. Rabbi Eliezer says that that prohibition of hashchosas pa'azokon, of shaving one's face, that is even if the hair is removed with a tweezers or a plane device, P-L-A-N-E, plane, a rehitni, not just a razor. There's a little note that we've included on the side. There's a starred note, and I've written near Lefian's Daiti. It appears to me the Mishnah Zu Muva Laharos Shechachom Reb Elazar Cholkim Binyan Tar. The source is brought in to show a machlokus between the two opinions regarding a razor. Avol beinyan tiglachas mitzora lekuli alma boinan tar. But as far as the mitzora final, the mitzora shaving requirement, body hair removal, that everyone agrees is with a razor. Uvehemshech hagemar yuva hamikoros lacham Reb Elazar minayin lahem the mitzora betar. So now we continue in the Gemara. My Tamayu de Rabbanan. In order to appreciate this question, we first glance at Rashi. Vamrinon my Tamayu de Rabbanan, de lo mechayvi behakofo elo betar. the prohibition that we just learned, the prohibition of Hakofa Sarosh, we made reference to the Hashosa Zokan. Rashi makes reference to Hakofa Sarosh, the prohibition of removing the hair from one's temple area. The Mishnah in Makis deals with both Pa'as Zokan and Hakofa Sarosh. The question of the Gemara, as we said, Maitaimai de Rabbonon, the Rashi had said, what is the reason for Rabbonon de lo mechaivi ba'hakofa ela betar? From where do the Rabbonon know that hakofa is this isur of hair removal is from the head for a common person, that the isur, the prohibition, is only with the use of a razor? That's the Tanakama. Before going on in the Gemara, though, I want to look together at the Tosfos, the beginning of the Tosfos. Umay tamayo de Rabbonon klomar. Mehecha nafgalon de pshitalahu de mitzora betar. Afilu belo nozir. Kidisvirale. Tosfos is giving us the, we'll say, the overall question. As we mentioned before, the job of the Gemara is to discover, according to the Rabbanon, where do they find it obvious that the Mitzora hair removal is done with a tar. And what we're doing then is, we're, as I said, working through the back door, coming off of the prohibition for the general population of removing their facial hairs with a tar, according to the Rabbanon, only with a tar. That's the only time that the Torah, it's only with a tar that the Torah prohibits. So, my tamayu de Rabbanon. What is the reasoning of the Rabbanon? And combining the Rashi and what Tosfos says, what is the reason of the Rabbanon that the general prohibition of facial hair or head hair removal is limited to the tar? And through this, we'll discover where the Rabbanon know that the Mitzora hair removal is clearly, is obviously with a tar. Desanya. We have a source, and we quote a pasuk that we've included on the side of the Gemara, Vayikra Perek Yudalit Pasuk Tes. And it reads, let's read it together on the side. The pasuk is from the Mitzora. It says, Vahoya b'yom ha-shvi, and on the seventh day of purification of a Mitzora, Yigalach is called Saro. He is to remove all of his body hair, all hair growing on his body. And then the pasuk specifies, Es Roshoi, V'ezekono, V'ezgabo, Yiseinov, V'ezkol Saro, Yigalach. His hair on his head, on his beard, on his eyebrows, all his hair he removes. Was it necessary to specify each part of the body after you tell me, Kol Saro, all hair is removed? So, the Brisa. Zikono ma tamud lomar. The term zikono, the specification of beard, why does the Torah say that? Isn't it so that zikono is included in the expression kol saro that's already stated in the pasuk? So zikono is then an extra word. We have then by mitzora the word zikono as an extra word. So what is it there for? Lefi shenemar, it says in a different section of the Torah, it says regarding the Kohanim, it says, Upa'as zikonam lo yigalechu. Kohen, the Torah says that the Kohen facial hairs are not to be shaven off. Yochol afilu mitzora kein. Would that apply as well to a Kohen who happens to have been a mitzora? That he doesn't shave? Talmud lomar zikono. So the extra word zikono in the Parsha of Mitzora is a reference that even a Kohen who was restricted by the Torah If he is a Metzora, he is to shave his facial hairs as part of his Metzora shaving requirements and entire body hair removal. Umenolan de Betar. The Gemara asks us, from where do we know that the Giluach referred to, the shaving referred to, as with a razor? And once I can establish that it's with a razor, I'll then know that the Metzora shaving is likewise with a razor. So we have to find that the Giluach of the Kohanim, which was prohibited, was a Giluach with a razor. And from that, I can then establish that, well, when the Kohen happened to be a Metzora, that which he was originally prohibited doing, as a Metzora, he must do. So that's our question. From where do we know that's Betar? Tosfos clarifies. Let's look at it together. In the widest lines, the second of the widest lines under the Rashi, the Betar, Klomar, Chiyuv Hashchosa Zokon, the prohibition of facial shaving, Meno Lehu L'Rabbonon, the Lohavi Elo Betar. From where do the Rabbonon know that that prohibition is limited to the use of a tar? De mino yafino tar l'mitzoron. From that, I'll then be able to conclude that the Metzora, which supersedes, which overrules that restriction, is then also betar, also only betar. That the Metzora hair shaving Torah requirement is only with a tar. So let's continue in our Gemara. Uminolon de betar, disanyo. Upas zikonam lo yigalechu. This was a pasuk we just saw from Sefer Vayikra, Perichov Aleph, which deals with prohibitions that apply to Kohanim. And it says there that their facial hairs, they shall not megaleach. Yochal afil gilcho b'misporayim yechayev. Would it be, even if they shave with a scissors, they would be in violation? Talmud Lomar. So we cite another pasuk from Vayikra Perek Yud Tes, which is not by the Kohanim, it's by Yisraelim, by Jewish people in general. Lo veloi sashchis pa'as zikonecha. So you see the term pa'as zikonecha by Yisrael, and you found the term pa'as zikonam by the Kohanim. Yochol liktoi b'milkav v'hitni yehei chayav. So first of all, we established that a scissors would not be a violation, because the Torah, when it violates the facial shaving, it's a violation of lo sashchis. Sashchis means destruction. A scissors does not produce hashchosa. It doesn't constitute a violation of what the pasuk says, v'lo sashchis. So, understanding the meaning of the word tashchis, if you understand that word properly, you understand that a misparayim, a scissors, is not restricted. Well, if the standard is hashchosa, then would there be a violation if he licked up a milkin v'hitni? Would there be a violation if he uses a tweezers or a plane to remove the hair? Yehi chayiv, would that be chayiv? Would that be a violation? Well, no. Talmud lomar upaz zikonam lo yigalechu. Meaning, even though the tweezer hair removal would be destructive in terms of the hair, it would be hashchosa, it's not going to be a violation, because the pasuk by Kohanim says upaz zikonam lo yigalechu. It uses a specific word, yigalechu. Haketzad, how are we to understand these verses? Ezu giluach shiyesh boy hashchosa. You might notice that we've dashed underline the word tashchis and the word yigalechu. In effect, we're combining the two psukim. In both psukim, you saw the same expression of pasikonam or pasikonecha use, so we combine the two psukim, And we conclude as follows. Ezu giluach shiyesh boi hashchasa. What kind of shaving has in it hashchasa? Hevi omer ze tar. The term giluach is a reference. You see this in the Meforshim here. The normal way of shaving. What is the normal way of giluach, of shaving, that has hashchasa? That is only with a tar. And the Torah says that Jewish people should not use a tar. Now, that having been said, we know that the prohibition, as we saw earlier, upa'azikonam lo yigalechu, that prohibition is with a tar. The pasuk spoke about zikonam, and we said that a kohen who is a mitzora, even though he is warned, pa'azikonam lo yigalechu, the standard kohen is not to use a razor, and of course it applies also to Yisrael. However, a kohen mitzora is to use the razor. And the thinking right now is only a razor. And there you have it. Our original question was, how do the Rabbanan know that a mitzora hair removal is done through a razor? It's what we just got finished proving. So we had to show what was prohibited by the pasuk of Pazikonam lo yigalechu. We said giluach sheish bo hashchasa. We said that's a reference to a tar, only a tar, and that which is prohibited there, when it comes to a kohen mitzora, it is what is necessary: hair removal with a tar. And what we're trying to emphasize is that the mitzora hair removal must be done only with a tar. It can't be accomplished any other way. And on that, we challenge with a question, a four-line question. Mimai, who says that that's what we're to conclude? Dilma li'oilom afilu liktoi b'milkad v'hitni nami mitzvah ka'ovit. It might very well be that the mitzora, if he does his body hair removal with a tweezers or a plane, he's also fulfilling his requirement. And what we saw above with regard to the tar is we're informing you, the word zikona would be telling us that even if he happens to use a tar, he would not be in violation. But to say that only a tar, who says? The Gemara answers. And notice, we have a long answer marking. And on the side of the Gemara, we also have a mivne, structural note. Diamonds will appear here, and at the top of Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. Shtei tshuvos lochiach. These are two answers to prove. Da'odich siv zikono, hainu lelame de mitzartig lochosoy davke betar. Ulafuki kol shar mavirim. To prove that the mitzora hair removal is only with a tar. And that is all derived from the word zikono. And of course, this is all within the opinion of the Rabbanan. So now, we turn to the Gemara. Amri, we answer. E salka daitoch ki ovid namid mukud ritni shap yedomi. If that were really so, that the mitzora hair removal could be accomplished with a milkad or a hitni, the tweezers or a plane. Lishtoik kra mine, let the Torah have remained silent with regard to its use of the word zakono by the mitzora. Ve'ano amino, and I would have figured as follows. Uma gabi nozir de isura ka'ovid. Afilu hachi mechayev, hacha de mitzvah lo kol shekein. I will tell you ahead of time that how to translate this line, how to explain it. This is a machlokes in the Mefarshim. What we'll do is use the commentary of the Rush. And notice the Rush at the very at the bottom, first of the wide lines under the Tosfos. Uma nazir di isura kovid. Dafilu nazir tor chote. Even a nazir who concluded his nazirus in a state of purity without defiling himself, he's called a sinner. Kidemfosh parakama di nadorim. As the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Nedarim, it was also dealt with in this Masechet, Kedinjir Shalom Nadar Benozir. The Rosh has a second commentary. And he says, V'yesh Meforshim, T'minozir Tomei Yolif, Shigam Tiglachosa Betar, T'lekamon Bishmaitzin, U'tiglachosa Bo Al Yadei Isur, the Nozir who became defiled. He also has a required haircut at the end of the purification, the Tuma period. And his haircut is a requirement through a violation, namely he became Tomei. V'afilu hachi michayev legaleach rosh betar. Nevertheless, either one, the Nozir Tor or the Nozir Tomei, have to do their hair removal with a tar v'dochi lav da'kofa. And even though there's a sinful aspect to the nazir, and yet the razor hair removal is done, overriding the other Torah prohibition of removing the head of hair, which is prohibited for a regular person to do, to shave off the hair, certainly around his temples. That's certainly prohibited. And yet the nazir will take a razor and remove that hair as part of his nazir hair cut requirement. And we see that we're dochev alav, we supersede the negative command of hakofa. Let's continue reading in the Rosh. He said, "V'dochi lav da'akofa d'sviru l'nashta akofas kol arosh ma'akofa." We're assuming right now that the haircut a nazir takes, the total head hair removal, the total head shaving, is what, if you weren't a nazir, it would be prohibited. Hocha, the mitzvah ka'avit, shein shum isur b'tiglachas mitzor lo kol shekein. Here, in the case of the Metzorah, where there's no violation, there's no sinfulness, a person is afflicted with Tzoras. There's no, even though the Gemara elsewhere describes why Tzoras, and more in Erichin, it describes why Tzoras comes, but for our purposes, it's not obviously related to sin. So it's all the more obvious, Shetiglachas Metzorah Tidche Lav Dahashchos Zokan. All the more so where there's if an area that's what we call sin based, we're allowing the overriding of a prohibition in something that's non sin based, then all the more so we would provide for the overriding of the prohibition. So now our Gemara is saying that if it were so that the Metzorah hair removal could be accomplished with the other means, the milkad or the rehitni, the Torah wouldn't have to spell out zikono by mitzorah. I would have simply said, we find by the nazir, who's called sinner, and yet he uses a tar and is over and violates and it supersedes the prohibition of hakofa, the mitzorah, which is not sin-based at all, the more so the Tiglachas Mitzorah would be doche, the lav of Hashchos HaZokan. We continue at the top of Mem Aleph Amar Aleph. V'su, Yisalka Daitoch Ki Ovid B'milkev Ritni Mitzvah Ka'ovid. If it were so that he could accomplish, that the Mitzorah could accomplish his haircut removal with these other means, midalo ksiv tar, from the fact that the Torah does not spell out tar explicitly, I would tell you, you're not allowed to use a tar, that you would have to use some other means. Kereish Lakish, based on Reish Lakish's principle, Diyomar kol mokim shata moitzi aseva lo isase, wherever you find in the Torah a conflict between a positive command and a negative command, imata yochol l'kayim es shnei amutav, if you can, we would say, have your cake and eat it too, in other words, fulfill the positive command without violating the negative command, mutav, that would be the best. V'im lav, however, if you're in a situation where they conflict, and I can't accomplish the positive command without violating the negative, in order as the negative man would have to be violated, then we have a principle, yovoi asei v'yidche es loisa asei. The positive would supersede the negative, it would push off the negative command. So once you acknowledge that zikono is allowing the use of the tar, we don't stop there. We say you would have to use a tar, because if the other method was an option, namely the milket of the rehitni was an option for the mitzora, then we wouldn't allow the tar. Why not? Because if by using the milket of rehitni, I wouldn't be violating the isur of hashchosas zikono or hakofas harosh, if we speak in these terms. Why? As we pointed out before, that the isur of hashchosas zikono is only in a tiglachas sheshbo hashchosa. The milket or the rehitni wouldn't have been a violation. So just to repeat this last point, if milket and rehitni were an option, then I wouldn't allow you to use the tar, because by using the tar you are activating a positive command in order to violate or supersede a negative command. If there were some other option, we wouldn't let you do that. So from the fact that zikono, the extra word, appears by mitzora, the Gemara's question or suggestion falls away. Namely, the Gemara had suggested in the question preceding this long answer was maybe the other means are optional, and the Torah says zikono only to say that using the tar would not be a violation. That is not tenable. As we said, the milket or hitni would not be a means of accomplishing the mitzvah, because if it was, then there would be no provision for using a tar. So at this point, there was a marking that we didn't mention, but maybe it was obvious. We had a Roman numeral number 1 in a triangle, and we also have the extended dashed line till this point in the Gemara. This shows you that all of this piece of Gemara was designed to show how the Rabbanon know that the mitzora is clearly using is has to use a tar. Verabelozer, my timer. Rebelozer, Tosfos says, he was the opinion that said when it comes to the prohibition of hashchosas pazikonoi, that prohibition is violated even with a milkat and rehitni, with the tweezers and a plane. So, let's look at the Tosfos together. Rebbe Lozar, in the narrow, toward the lower part of the narrow lines of the Tosfos, Rebbe Lozar, diomar afilu likto b'milkat v'ritni chayav b'pazikonoi, the zokin, umechayev bepas the zokin afilu b'shar mashchisin. All other destructive methods of hair removal would be a violation of los sashes pasikonim. V'shapir itzter zikono de mitzora, and then it's understandable why I need zikono for mitzora. The dochi lav dashchos zokon, that the Torah tells me that the mitzora who needs to do a full body hair removal, the prohibition, the lav of hashchos zokon will be superseded. V'hainu nami b'shar mashchisen. But as far as Reb Elozer is concerned, that could very well be with other mashchisin. In other words, with other mashchisin, you would ordinarily be in violation of the lav of the negative command. And in the case of the mitzora, so you're allowed to violate that negative command. Yeah, but as far as Reb Elozer is concerned, that might be with any other thing other than a tar. How is Rabbi Lezer going to know that the Tiglachas Mitzora is only with a tar? He's not going to use the word zikono for that. So the Gemara says, Yolif lo me rosho. There's another word that appears to be extra in the case of the Mitzora, namely the word rosho. After all, as we said before with the Rabbonon, the Pasuk by Mitzori says, "Kol Sairo," all his hair. Isn't head hair included in all of your body hair? So now the Gemara. Reb Elozer, my taima. Where does Reb Elozer know that Tiglachas of a Mitzora is only Batar? And we saw through the Tosfos that Zekano won't be enough for Reb Elozer. Answer, Yolif Me Rosho. Tisanya, Rosho. The word Rosho by Mitzora Matam Alomar. What do you need that word for? It's already included in Kol Sairo. Lefi Shenemar Gabi Nozir. Posuk by Nozir says, Tar lo yavor al Rosho. Yocholaf Nozir Mitzora came? What if a Nozir happened to be a Mitzora? Is he also prohibited at the end of his Tzoras period in shaving with a Tar? Talmud Lomar, Rosho. So the word Rosho by Mitzora tells me that a Nozir, that's a Mitzora, well, he's going to have to use the Tar. So that would answer our question. How does Reb Elozer know that a Mitzora haircut is only with a Tar? So we would know it from the word Rosho. The Gemara asks a question very similar to the question we just got finished with the Rabbanan. The question is a long question. Mimai, how do you know that the Mitzora is only with a tar? Maybe with the Mitzora, his hair removal could be accomplished with a tweezers or a plane. Tar lomali, and you'll ask, well, if that's the case, then why does the Torah suggest a tar through the word Rosho? L'meimra, it would tell me, dafilu betar, that even if he wants to use a tar, a razor, he can do that. Saka dechamin ohoil, v'gabi nozir ki ovid betar mechayev, gabi mitzora nami lechayev, komash molon delo. I need the Torah to tell me that the nozir mitzora has a tar option. Not a tar, require a Torah option. You ask, what do I need to be told that for? Well, since a basic nazir, a standard nazir, during, in the midst of his nazirus, he is not allowed to use a tar. It says, tar lo yavar al rosho. I might have thought that a mitzora, a nazir that in the middle of his nazirus became a mitzora, is also prohibited in using the tar. Therefore, the Torah says Rosho to say no, that he's allowed to use the tar, but not that it's restricted to a tar. So with this question in mind, we're asking, according to Reb Elozer, how does he know that the Mitzora hair removal is only with a tar? Maybe it's just one option. The Gemara answers a very similar answer to what we had before. If you were to actually think that the Mitzora hair removal could be accomplished with those other means, Midalo Kosav Tar Kiresh Lakish. Now this phrase is very, very terse, so we'll explain. We would not be Matir the Tar. If those other means were allowed, we would not have been Matir the Tar. From the fact that the Torah doesn't write Tar explicitly, I wouldn't have allowed it based on Reish Lakish's teaching. What was Reish Lakish's teaching? That wherever you can fulfill a positive command and at the same time not supersede through that fulfillment a negative command, that's what we would demand of you. So that if the Milka Urehitni was an option for the Mitzora, the Nazir who happened to become Mitzora would say, you are not allowed to use a tar, because the use of the tar is the violation of a negative command, and you can fulfill the positive command through the Milka Urehitni. Therefore, the suggestion that Milka Urehitni is also a way of the Mitzora accomplishing it, his hair removal requirement, and the tar is just another option, that is ruled out. So, at this point then, we have the answer to our question, where does Rebbe Lozer know that a Mitzora removes his hair only with a razor? The answer is from the word Roshoi. We continue in the Gemara. The Rabbonon Hai Roshoi Mai Darshi Bei. The Rabbonon who learned the Mitzora razor requirement from Zekano, what did the Rabbonon learn from Rosho? Answer, Miboya Lehu Lemidchi Lav Dehakofa. They need it for a Mitzora, even if he's not a Nazir, that in fulfilling his Mitzora hair removal requirements, he is allowed to supersede the prohibition of removing one's temple hairs. The Sanya, the Pasuk says, Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem. One, a Jew, a male Jew, is prohibited in shaving his head around. There happen to be some, as at least as of this recording, there are certain, haircut styles that exist in the population that are totally, diametrically prohibited, diametrically against the Torah's teachings. And those are different kinds of haircuts or hairstyles where the hair around the ears is totally removed, leaving a crop of hair in the middle. It might be called the mohawk style haircut or what have you. Those different styles of hair removal. There were, I recall, a style of shaving one's head all around, leaving a ponytail type growth right coming out from the middle of one's head. Also, a violation of this. Lo sakifu pas roishchem. So that shaving the hair from one's temples, the hair growing in front of one's ears on either side of his head, that hair cannot be removed according to the Torah. So is that so? Yochel af mitzora kein? A mitzora, upon the conclusion of his nazirus, he has to remove all the hair growing from his body, including his head. So is he also bound by this restriction? Talmud lomar rosho. So the word rosho says, in the case of a mitzora, that negative command is superseded. The Gemara continues, Lomali lemichtav rosho. Why does the Torah need rosho for that? The tepukle mizekano. Why not learn this concept of the Metzorah being in the position where, for his haircut, a negative command that applies to others, in his case, is going to be superseded. Desanya, and here you see it, Zekono Matamalomar. The word Zekono by Metzora, what is its purpose? After all, as we pointed out many times today, the Metzora must remove all his hair, including Zekono, including his facial hairs. So why does the Torah specify Zekono? Lefi Shenemar, because the Pasuk elsewhere says, Upas Zekonam lo yigalechu, that their hair, their facial hairs are not to be shaven off. Yocholaf Mitzorokain, is that prohibition applicable to the Mitzoro? Upon the conclusion of his Tzoras, he is too restricted? Talmud Lomar Zekono. Zekono tells me that the prohibition of Pas Zekonam lo yigalechu is superseded. Well, at this point, then, we ask, Lomali lemichtav rosho v'lomali lemichtav zekono. If the purpose is to introduce this principle of the asei of mitzora coming to supersede these negative commands, why do I have to spell it out twice? Tzrichi. I need to spell it out twice. Di kosav rachmono zekono v'lo kosav roshoi have amino. Had the Torah written Zekono and not written Rosho, I would have thought Hakofa's Kola Rosh Lo Shmo Hakofa, the entire head being shaved of its hair is not considered a prohibition. According to this method of reasoning, the prohibition of Hakofa's Rosh would be limited to shaving the head around, leaving hair growing in the middle. But Hakofas Kol Rosh, I would have thought, is not a prohibition. Therefore, the Torah writes Rosho to tell me that even where all the hair is removed, it would otherwise, if it wasn't a Metzora, it would have been prohibited. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, the E Kosav Rosh of Lokas of Kosav Zekono, Have Amina, Mashma Tarti. Had the Torah just written Rosho and not written Zekono, I would have concluded the following 2 points. Number one, the Osi Ase Vedochi Eslo Sase, that there is this phenomenon of a positive command overriding a negative command. And from the word Rosho, I would conclude that the shaving of the entire head constitutes the Isur, otherwise, if it's not a Metzora, the Isur, the prohibition of Pas Rosham, Lo Sakifu as Pas Roshchem. V'akati b'tar minolon. But I still wouldn't know that the Metzora must use only a tar for his hair removal. So that's why Zekono appears to tell me, as we learned earlier at great length, that the Metzora, through the word Zekono, the extra word Zekono, his hair removal is only with a razor. This last discussion was all under the Rabbonan. We were working within the sheet of the Rabbonan. So we discovered from these words, Rosho and Zekono, the information we just discussed, that Osi Aseh V'dochi Lo Saseh, and that would have been learned from Rosho. And we learned from Zekono the Din of Tar. The Gemara now asks, that's fine and good as far as the Rabbanan are concerned. They learned from Rosho. We mentioned 2 points. And the first of them was that Osi Aseh V'dochi Lo Saseh. What about Rebbe Lozer? Rebbe Lozer, he focused on the word Rosho. And through Rosho, he came to the conclusion, only Ta'ar for the Metzora. Where does Rebbe Lozer derive the principle of
positive command, when coming in conflict with the negative command, will supersede the negative command. For Rabbi Lozer, Dosi Aseh V'dochi Lo Yisaseh Minolei, Rabbi Lozer, who used Rosho for Tar, where does he learn this principle? Answer? Yolif Migedilim. He learns it from the psukim in the Torah dealing with Gedilim. Vimar Tzitzis. Desanya. It says in the Torah, Lo Silbash Shatnez. Tzemer Upishtim Yachdov. Thou shall not wear fabrics made of shatnez, which is a combination of tzemer, of wool, and pishtim, and flax, or linen. And following that pasuk, it says, gedilim ta'aseh lecha. So if we continue reading in the Gemara to the top of Mem, Beis, Omed, Aleph, ha, gedilim ta'aseh lecha, mehem. That's the, as we said, the reading of the Torah is such that after the negative command of lo sil b'shatnez, the Torah says, well, gedilim ta'asecha, make tzitzis. So what the Torah is saying is that in general you cannot wear shatnez, but when it comes to the positive command of tzitzis, the positive command supersedes the negative command, and in making tzitzis, you are allowed to wear a combination of, we'll say, woolen tzitzis that are tied into a linen garment. By the way, let us just caution that what we just said has to do with, we'll call it, Torah level law. As far as practical law is concerned, do not come to any conclusions in terms of practical applied law from what we just said, because you'll find that it's not something that you can conclude so simply, especially in view of the fact that nowadays there are questions concerning whether we are really truly fulfilling the Torah requirement of tzitzis, especially in face of the issues concerning tchelis, which I certainly don't want to get involved with in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur. So at this point then we have the Rabbanan and their moker for Tar only, Rebbe Lozer and his moker for Tar only. According to the Rabbanan, it was learned from the word Zekano. According to Rebbe Lozer, it was learned from the word Rosho. We have the Rabbanan and their moker for Osi Aseh V'dochi Lo Saseh. They learned that from Zekano, and Rebbe Lozer learns it from the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.